In Christ Jesus, our all-powerful Lord and Savior, dear fellow redeemed. When Jesus had finished earning our redemption by dying on the cross, paying for the sins of all the world, giving the atoning sacrifice for mankind, he then rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. But before he left his visible presence of this earth, he gave these wonderful words to his believers, his disciples. All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Our Savior summarized the work of his church to be make disciples of all nations, and do that by two things, baptizing them in the name of the triune God and teaching them God's word. But he also gave his church that powerful, powerful commitment. I'll be with you for all time until eternity. Now, he wouldn't be there as he was in the past, visibly present, but he'd be invisibly present. And we would see and feel that presence in his word, in his sacraments, baptism, Lord's Supper. And then he also gave him this powerful assurance. All power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, wherever we go in Christ's kingdom, to do his work, no matter what the obstacle, no matter how great or how many the enemies may be, Jesus Christ, head of the church, has more than enough power to take care of everything. This past week in our vacation Bible school, our series was entitled All Power in Heaven and on Earth. And our children learned five miracles of Jesus, and then had those five miracles applied to their lives with the word power. This morning, we're going to briefly go through those five miracles and apply them to our lives as children of God, both young and old. The first text is found on the front of your bulletin in Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You may be seated. Power to protect. What a remarkable lesson for our day of calamities and disasters by nature, from storms, floods, to wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, mudslides, avalanches, sinkholes. When we think of all the powerful upheavals that there is in nature, it's even more amazing to realize that Jesus has even more power than all of that. With one Greek word, three English words, "peace be still," Jesus calmed that hurricane-type windstorm on the Sea of Galilee. Actually, he calmed two storms. He calmed the sea and the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and he calmed the storm in the hearts of his disciples. Jesus does the same today. He still protects us with his power from all the disasters and all the problems of this life. He also then sends his word into our hearts to calm our storms. All of us have fears, phobias, worries, cares, anxieties. Jesus says to us, cast them all on me. I'll take care of them for you. Because my power is unlimited. You know, we know that. We hear that. We believe that. And yet, how often don't we, because of the weakness of our faith, think and say the same thing the disciples did? Teacher, do you not care? We are perishing. Jesus, not care? How dare we ever think that? Much less say it. And that's why we need to be rebuked too, for our weakness of faith and our lack of confidence that Jesus has the power to protect us according to his will. Jesus asked his disciples, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The Lord Jesus is in control of every single situation in your life and in mine. He has all power over everything. Nothing in history, nothing in time catches Jesus off guard. That's why we can be at peace and be still. We read our second lesson from John 6, 1-13. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that even one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Power to provide. What a bountiful harvest for so many out of so little. By the power of Jesus' words. Why had the disciples seen the solution to the problem? They're standing there right in front of them. It was because they were not looking with eyes of faith. They were looking with the eyes of their reason, their sinful reason. They couldn't come up with a solution when Jesus asked the question, where should we buy bread that these may eat? They didn't say, well, Lord, you can provide for them with your power. You can change the stones into bread. You can send down manna from heaven. You can give them quail. And instead, they mathematically counted the people. They mathematically looked at what they had, and they collectively came to the response, it is impossible. In Matthew's account, we're told that they said to Jesus, maybe you should send them home so they can all go and find something for themselves to buy and eat. But their failure to have the right answer led them to a very valuable lesson on implicit, simple trust in Jesus. We too need to focus our eyes of faith upon Jesus when we're facing such seemingly hopeless situations in life. Not enough money to pay the bills. Afraid you're going to be laid off from your job. Maybe you've been looking for a job for a long time. Maybe your health is failing. We rush around, wear ourselves out with worry. We are all excited and become stressed out. This affects not only our mental and emotional well-being, but that of our family as well. Whether father, mother, son, daughter, married or unmarried, when we worry about spiritual or physical problems, all it does is lead to a dead end. We need to trust in Jesus' power to provide. And first of all, he provides for our faith with the Word of God. And then he provides for all of our needs according to his will. He says to us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things that we need in this life shall be added unto you. We'll continue with our third lesson on the inside page from Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling for you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Power to heal. All of us are beggars before our Lord. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. None of us have the right, because of our sins, to even come before our Savior and call upon him. But our Lord Jesus, through his mediation and his invitation, has commanded us, call upon him in every trouble, and he says, he will deliver us. Blind Bartimaeus was not really blind. No, he wasn't faking blindness. He couldn't physically see. But he saw a whole lot better than a lot of the people that were following Jesus. He saw in this man his Savior. His Savior from his sins. The one who had set him free from sin, death, Satan, and hell. And he knew that if he could do that, he could also then take care of his physical problem. That'd be pretty easy. Blindness. And so even though he was told to shut up and rebuked, he cried all the more, Jesus, have mercy on me. He knew Jesus was all powerful. He was neither ashamed, nor was he silent about his faith. And neither should we be ashamed or silent. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? It's a question that would elicit from him what Jesus already knew what he was going to say. Because Jesus had looked into his heart. He saw that he knew him as his Lord and Savior. He knew him as the one who was going to take away all of his sins. And he knew he was going to ask for this one blessing to be able to see. And so he says to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. So if Jesus came to you today and he asked you, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say? Hopefully, you say the same thing we did at the beginning of our worship service this morning. We all join together, confess our sins. We all cry out to the Lord and asked, begged, pleaded for three things. Grace, mercy, forgiveness of sins. We jointly gathered together this morning, shortly after 9 o'clock, and we said, I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Had Bartimaeus been only an ordinary beggar, and had he looked upon Jesus as just being an ordinary man, he would have asked Jesus to open his money bag rather than to open his eyes and open his heart. When Bartimaeus was healed, we are told that he followed Jesus. One can only imagine what he said to the people there when he saw them face to face. When we come begging before the Lord, may it be for the first and most important thing, forgiveness of sins, washing away all of our sins in thought and word and action. As Jesus has the power to heal us from the blindness of our spiritual sight and give us faith, to heal us from the cancer of our sins, and yes, he has the power also to heal us from all of our ills, from all of our infirmities, according to his will.